Thank you, Lord. Why don't we turn in our Bibles over to Matthew 1. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we hold? I'm going to go ahead and start in Isaiah. Go hold your finger in Matthew, and go back to Isaiah. This is where I really wanted to emphasize. Anyway, we'll come back. So, hold your finger in Isaiah too, because there's several scriptures. We'll come back to that. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Everybody there? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. Thank God. For unto us a child is born, prophesying of the future. Now in our past, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. I just want you to notice that. He carried it all. The government, our sins, it's on our Lord's shoulders. And that's what I want to emphasize today as we get into the Word. He's big. He is an almighty God. Look at the words that it uses to describe him, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Our God is mighty. When Jesus was born that night, God came to earth. God Almighty came to this earth, and his shoulders are wide. He bore up under everything, to pay for our sin, and he was able to do it. He's the King of the universe. He carried it. He carried it. Thank you, Lord. Hold your finger in Isaiah and go to Matthew. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 1, verse 18. Thank you, Lord. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, verse 23, that's quoting Isaiah as well in chapter 7, that his name shall be called Emmanuel. But verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. That's what we're celebrating. We celebrate Easter, the fact that in the spring, that he died, was buried, and rose again, but this is where it started. He came to earth as a baby with the destiny of taking upon him the sin of the whole world, our sin, for that to rest upon him, to take it away, to take away the division between us and God, to make peace between God and man, so that we can stand before him, so that we can have joy, true joy, this time of the year, and just enjoy life. That weight of sin and that weight that every man feels that's not born again, that division, that separation from God could be taken and lifted away through him. He bore it. He took it. He took it on his shoulders. He carried it. And we're not to carry that. And as Christians, born again, children of Almighty God, we're to be well aware that he bore it and that he took it. This is a time that we set aside just to glorify and to be thankful for our Savior, to make it, to magnify that in his sacrifice in our mind, that he came to earth to save us from our sin. The world, I mean, we listened to those songs, we sang those songs earlier, talking about all that he's done, the righteousness that we now have, that we've been born again because of what he would eventually do. But he came for this single purpose, so that we could become children of God and we could just fellowship with him. And not only at this time of the year, but that all year long we could be so aware that Jesus loves me. That Jesus loves me. That I know that he came and he took it on himself. He bore it. He bore it on him. On him. We're not big enough to bear it. We're not big enough. We are not the Savior. He is. Now, I know we might know that with their head, but what I want to get across this morning is that we are not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. He came so that he could take the sins of the world. And in Christmas, this time of the year, man, it ought to be, it should be so big in our hearts that it just vibrates all year long. But this time especially, we ought to focus on it, not just, I got to, do all this stuff for the family or whatever, but that Jesus has taken that burden on himself. Amen. And man, I mean, that's the most basic thing, but that thing, that has to be just fresh. Do you know when we say, if you ever find yourself saying, you're listening to somebody preach, or you're listening, you read something, you say, I know that, I've heard that. Yeah. You know what that can tell you right there? It's become old to you. It's not alive to you at that point. Because if it's alive to you, it never gets old. You say, yes, that's right. Preach it again. Let me hear that again. I need to stir that up inside of me again. If it's working in your life, if it's real to you, it's never old. Be careful. It's a flag. When you find yourself going, I've heard that. Oh, I've heard that on healing. I've heard that on relationship. I've heard that love. Watch it, because if it's like that, it slips into where it's just you're mentally agreeing with it, saying, yeah, I've heard that. But is it alive in your heart? Is there faith there? See, the word comes again, faith comes. We want to make sure when we hear the word, yes, that's right. Glory to God, he did bear our sins. Because this is the thing that the devil will attack almost probably more than anything else, is you walk with him, he'll just try to get you, you're doing things for God, you've known things, you've heard the word, he'll try to get you to slip off to where you're carrying some of the load. And you start to forget that Jesus came to shoulder it all, to bear up under it all. He's big enough for the whole world, so surely he's big enough for us today. We ought to be walking around light as a feather, just joyful. We become mean and bitter when we let that load start bearing down on us. Watch it. When you start you're snapping at your spouse, you're snapping at your kids, you're just kind of, why are you doing that? You're in the store and you see somebody doing something, like, why are you doing that? You still have that habit? That's a Pharisee attitude. That, you know what that comes from? You're thinking you have to do it. You shouldered the load. And what does that do? If I'm shouldering the load, then you ought to shoulder the load, and you ought to take some of it, and you. And why aren't you shouldering your load better? That's what it does. But when we'll just come back to say, oh, God, you took my load. I don't have a load. It's on you. Lord God, I'm so thankful. Come back just to the simplicity of just knowing Him and saying, oh, Lord, thank God you came in that manger. You came to shoulder the sins of the whole world. And mine too. And so I can walk free this time of the year. I can just look at people and say, oh, God bless you. Isn't He good? Isn't He merciful? Man, I'm so glad that He didn't give me what I deserved. I'm so glad. You can look at somebody else and go, bless your heart. That's probably not the best for you, but He loves you too. And you can just look at people with love. How does that come? Because you know that it's not on you. Because you know what we sing about and what comes around every year that we're celebrating, that it's just vibrant in our hearts, that it's real. Amen. That it's real to us. Hallelujah, that He came to do what He said He was going to do. Matthew 11, back a few chapters. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We have so much to celebrate. So much to be thankful for. You know, we have family in heaven right now. I don't know how aware of they are really of, you know, Christmas right now. I know that, you know, from different things, they're aware of certain spiritual things. I don't know if they really get into celebrate Christmas. They have the Lamb right there. They have Jesus. Probably a little different, but the family in heaven is celebrating Him all year round, which we ought to be too. But right now, I mean, we have so much just to be thankful for. I don't care what's going on in our lives right now. In the midst of it, we can find joy and just thank Him. Because it could be worse. It always could be worse. I'm not saying to be thankful for the things that aren't going well in our lives. The trials of life come to us all. But in the middle of it, we can just say, thank God for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. At least I know you. And if you have to go back to your salvation and just start thanking Him for that, I'm telling you, it'll bring you past certain things. You get yourself focused on what He has done. Oh, these other things start to fade away. But don't let that pressure come down. Matthew 11, verse 25. So many people are depressed this time of year. It's supposed to be a joyful time, but they get depressed, get down. Hallelujah. Part of that, you got to watch what you put into yourself. Yeah. You know, when we get, this is a good time if you have vacation or whatever, but we got to watch what we start putting in. Because, yeah, there's some good things, some stuff to reflect on and all that stuff on TV or certain things. But man, there's junk too. And how many of you know, both with food and with other stuff you put in with food? I mean, there's a lot of good food this time of year. And you can go too far where it's looking good and I'll take a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Pretty soon you don't feel so good. And what started out is I'm just, you know, it's a little bit and it's good. Pretty soon you're just, I've gone too far and it's not a good place. Well, it's the same thing. There's spiritual junk food that we got to watch and not just put it into ourselves, because, man, garbage in, garbage out, you start to feel depressed and you're wondering why. It's the same way as if you just loaded up on all the pies and goodies and didn't get some real nourishment. After a while, you're going to feel bad. And you don't have to look too far to wonder why I feel like I have no energy and so on and so forth. Hallelujah. Matthew 11, 25. It says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If your burden's feeling heavy, you're carrying the wrong thing. I'm going to say that again. If your burden is feeling heavy, if your yoke is feeling heavy, you're something isn't quite right.
That's right.
Yeah. Because he bore it. And it's when we get our eyes off of that and we start to take a little, well, I'm just going to bear up under a little bit. I can do that. I mean, right now I'm going to start bearing up under this a little bit. I'll just really try hard and I'm going to be a great Christian. Well, bless your heart, we want to be as good a Christian as we can. We want to serve Him. But there's a subtle thing where we can just start letting the pressures of life, letting the pressures of what we're doing, even if we're doing things for Him, start to kind of weigh us down. Well, God, I'm doing the best I know how. I'm doing what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to follow You, whatever. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. He's the Savior. He's the Savior. He's the Savior. And He's the Savior of the people at your workplace, and He's the Savior of your family. You are not the Savior. We are not the Savior. It's not up to us to shoulder and to convince everybody that He's Lord.
That's right. Amen.
That's too big of a thing to leave on your shoulders.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Your family's eternal destiny, your co-workers' eternal destiny is too big of a thing to put on our little shoulders. That is too big of something riding on us. It's not our responsibility. Okay? We are not the Savior. The devil will twist to where you better do this better. You better show them. You better be a good witness. Thank God we want to be a good witness. We want to point them to Jesus. But we're human. We have not arrived. The devil will come in and say, I cannot believe you said that. Did you say, I mean, you didn't give a good witness today. The way you were doing your best. You came in with every intent and something slipped or something happened or you didn't do it the way you think, you know, you ideally ought to. The devil will be right there saying, man, they're not going to, how are they going to find out? What are they going to think of Jesus with you acting like that? And he'll bring it on you and say, basically, it's your responsibility to make them look to Jesus. That is a lie.
That's right.
Okay? We want to be a witness for Him. We want to live for Him. We want to do as well as we can. But ultimately, it is not our responsibility to point men to get them saved. That is the Lord's responsibility. We're to witness to Him, don't get me wrong. But men, with every reason to believe, will reject Him. He is not going to place the eternal destiny of somebody on you. Now, if He tells you to do something and says, hey, go speak to this person and it's him, well, then do it. But you just living out life, don't take the pressure that, boy, the world is riding on you. Now, if you don't get your job done, everything's going to come off its wheels. It's not true. That's a tactic of the devil, because when you start getting burdened, and you start getting heavy laden, just a matter of time before you're going to snap. You'll start snapping at people. You'll start having an attitude. And you may not even be aware of it. Why? Because you're pushed down. Because you're taking accusations. Because the accuser is throwing things at you. So you start making accusations at other people because, why? Because somebody's riding you and it's not God.
Good.
The enemy's riding you, trying to get you off, trying to get you to take something that Jesus bore. We just need to come back to know, look, I am not the Savior. The devil, you know, he'll pump up your pride. Well, you know, you with all the words you know and everything. I mean, you pretty much have a job just kind of a little bit above other people. And they're looking to you. They're looking to you more than they are other people. Watch it. They ought to be looking at Jesus. We are not the Savior. We just need to take the pressure off of us to say, you know what? I'm a man. I was one of the ones being saved. I am not the Savior of the world that came in that manger that night to this earth. I am not the Savior I needed to be saved, and I still do today. I'm not completely sanctified. None of us has it completely together, and once in a while our flesh is going to pop out, and at that time we need to just come back and say, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. That's why right now at this time we can just be glorifying God and saying, thank you, Lord, for what you did. And then we can look at other people with mercy and look at them and say, God bless your heart. Isn't he merciful? Isn't he merciful? Isn't he a good God? Oh, he's so good. I know what he saved me from. Hallelujah. And just let that weight roll back where it's supposed to be, off your shoulders, back on the one that can handle it. His shoulders are big. His shoulders are broad. He's able to handle it. All the billions of people, and he carried the sin of everyone. He's able to handle it. Our Savior is mighty. Our Savior is great. Jesus is his name. He came to save us from our sins. No man is the Savior. No ministry is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. And we're certainly not the Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's sometimes a pressure. I know there's a pressure with family or friends you get around, and this time of the year, man, close quarters, you have people over, and well, we're just going to be a good witness. You know, you may not say it like that, but you're wanting to put on your A game because, you know, you're trying to lead them to the Lord. Well, you know what? That can put so much pressure on you that you end up uptight and being a worse witness because you're trying to do everything. Then if you just chill and we just say, hey, I'm going to do my best, but I'm going to enjoy it while I'm going. And it's not up to me to make this person an act of the will come to God. It's an act of the will. It's not a reasoning thing. It's not like, well, if you do this and you do this and you do this, well, that person pretty much has to come to the Lord. No. People dig their heels in the ground all the time and say, I'm not going to believe. So let's just do what God told us to do, and let's just enjoy our salvation. Amen. This time of the year too, especially. Let's turn over to Isaiah 45. Thank you, Lord. Isn't he good? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't it so good to know him? Hallelujah. Somebody just needs to take a deep breath. I'm saved. I'm in the family. It's not up to me. Oh, it's not up to me. Let's just take a minute. Just roll that off right now. Just take another deep breath. Isn't it good to know Jesus? Isn't it good to know the Savior? Hallelujah. Let's just take a minute. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, we're so thankful that we know you. Lord, we just roll the burdens over on you right now. Anything we've been starting to carry, any accusations that the devil's been, pointing at us, and we've been receiving them, and we've been taking them. Yeah, I could do that better. Yeah, and our legs start going faster, and it's just like we're on a little mouse wheel, and we start going faster and faster, and the pressure's starting to rise, and our blood pressure's going up, and we've been lied to and been deceived and started to buy in to this burden. And it's subtle. It's little at a time. We didn't even know we were doing it. But right now, we just need to roll that burden back off and get it back where it's supposed to be on him and say, oh, Jesus, I'm just going to enjoy my salvation today. Thank you, Lord. Give me your yoke, God. Oh, that's much better. Oh, you weren't asking me to do that stuff anyway. Thank God. Thank God. I can just relax because I'm a person too. I am not the Savior. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you haven't laughed as much as you need to lately. Some of you just something has been getting a hold of you and just sapping your joy. And it's a lie. Now, we are children of God. We're children of Almighty God. We just need to enjoy our salvation, every part of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 45. Amen. Isaiah 45, verse 21. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time, have not I the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. He is the Lord. He is God. There is none like him. Hallelujah. He is the Savior. He is the one and only. He is big enough to do what he does. And only he is. There are other forces that call themselves gods. They're not gods. There is one God. Hallelujah. Thank God we know him. Thank you, Lord. It said, and there is no God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved. Look to me. And that goes for salvation. That goes for every day of our life. Look to him. Look to him. Look away from yourself. Look away from your conditions. Look away from circumstance. And just look back to him. The more we just focus on him, the less all this other stuff looks. The lighter the load becomes, because you realize what's really going on. We're walking through this earth with limited understanding. Okay, we don't know everything. It's a trap to believe we do. And when we start believing we just ought to be doing this and we ought to be doing that, no, we ought to do the best we know how to do, but the devil will take that and try to just heap stuff on us. And we have to realize, you know what? I am born again, child of God, but I am not God. I don't know it all. I'm just going to, through the midst of everything, I will praise him and I will acknowledge him. And I'm going to have fun. I'm going to enjoy my salvation.
Amen.
Every day. Every day. Because he came and paid a high price for it. Hallelujah. That babe in the manger, man, he came to shoulder the weight of the whole world. Walked through life. Sweat drops of blood when it came time. But he shouldered it. And only he could. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He shouldered it. So we ought to have fun. We ought to enjoy. I didn't say everything is just going to be a bed of roses, but in the middle of it, we can still have joy. It may not look great, but we can still have joy. Hallelujah. We can still be on top even if we're going through.
Yeah.
Even if we're going through it. See it with God's perspective. He's not getting uptight. See on the other side. Just thank him. Put it back on him. He's able to shoulder it. He's able to take it. Isaiah 53.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 53, verse 2. We can read verse 1, too. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took it all. He paid for our salvation. He paid for our sicknesses and diseases. He paid for our peace. He did. Hallelujah. No one was able to make that, to pay that price except our Lord. But he laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's what he came to do. That's what we read in Matthew at the beginning, that he will save his people from their sins. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Philippians 2. Thank you, Lord. Philippians 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. That's why he came. And that's why he has the name above every name. Because he paid for it all. He came as our substitute, that every tongue is going to confess. Every knee will bow to the Lord. Whether or not he's shut out from things today, and we push him out of certain things, and push him out of even Christmas, we who are Christians must remind ourselves that he came for a reason, and we know that reason. We have to remind ourselves of what he did on that cross and enjoy the fruit of it, enjoy the result of it every day of our lives, because he paid a high price for it. And that's why he came. And the devil likes nothing more than to try to put us back into bondage, try to get us back into slavery, get us back to this, to act like and to experience the same things that people that are still under his rule experience, even though we're free. He tries to put us under a burden, tries to get to manipulate us, the people that he knows are free. But if he can trick us, if he can get us burdened down and take the things that he's fully aware that our Lord bore. It's not God's will for us to burn out. It's not God's will for us to get heavy laden. His will is for us to walk through light, enjoying it. If you're not enjoying it, there's something wrong. If we're having this attitude like, well, you know, I'm just super spiritual, I don't mess with certain things. Well, we've been set apart, thank God, but we ought not have an attitude like, well, you know, I just don't do certain things, and I'm just too spiritual to have fun. There's serious things got to be taken care of today. Well, that's a slippery slope, because Jesus is not uptight. He's not. If he were here, he might have a different perspective about what we get so uptight about. Because he took it. And he knows all the answers. Nothing troubles him. So if he were here, and the thing that we get uptight about, or we start getting all sour-faced, you know, like we're sucking on a lemon type of thing, just looking all uptight, he might have a different perspective on it. And I'm sure he probably would. He would probably just be a lot more relaxed. Because he's not uptight. God is not, he's not burdened down right now. Even with everything he's carrying. He carried the sin of the whole world. He's still not burdened down. He's the Almighty. He's the King of Kings. He's wonderful. He is the Almighty. There is nothing too difficult for him. Hallelujah. We are just one of many children. And yes, we may have a call to do something specific, but he called us to do it in his power and not in our power. If we're doing it in our power, we're missing it. We're going off the rails somewhere. Because it's him. He expects us to do the job that he asked us to do in his power. To look to him, yes, it's going to take faith. Yes, it's going to take not looking at circumstances, looking at him. But he did not expect it to start straining us. If we're straining and we're getting uptight, we are not looking at the right thing. We've taken on a lie. We've taken on burdens we're not supposed to take on. Because what did we read back in Matthew? He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Well, if that describes us at all, we ought to get back to what he's saying. He said, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. That means trade up. If you've taken this other yoke and you didn't even realize that somehow somebody swapped it out and you're not carrying Jesus' yoke anymore, you're carrying some other yoke. If you look up and see that, you better trade it back and say, take his yoke back upon us. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. I know this is simple, but sometimes we miss it right here. We got somehow something got swapped out and we didn't notice till we were a couple miles down the road and we started to say, man, I'm tired. I'm sweating. What's going on? This has gotten difficult all of a sudden. Oh, I'm carrying something I'm not supposed to be carrying. Somebody, I got duped into taking this thing right here. Swap it back so he can give us rest. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Amen. Let's turn over to Hebrews. We'll close there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews 4, verse 9. Verse 9, everybody there? It says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Amen? There's a rest. And if we're believing God and doing what we ought to do, we're in rest. When we get out of rest, when stuff starts seeming hard, we've been duped. We're trying to do certain things that only he can do and what he's asked us to do because his burden's easy. Amen. There's a rest. There's a rest. We're supposed to stay in that rest. Now, I didn't say it was easy all the time to stay in that rest. Because when you get out of that rest, you're not as effective. You're not flowing with God. You're not yielding to him because why? You're uptight. It's hard to hear God when we're uptight. It's hard to hear God when we have a lot of stuff going on. We're not sensitive to what's going on in here. We're more easily distracted by our senses and by our minds, and your mind can get racing. That's not the place you want to be. The devil knows that, so he'll try to keep you there so that God can't flow through you like he wants to. He's right there, but we're not listening. We're so frantic. We're going around doing this. So sometimes it just takes your faith to just push through and be happy the whole day. Sometimes that is a monumental act of faith for you just to stay positive the whole day in spite of stuff. Just for you to stay right there and just enjoy life right there. Well, but it can be done. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, there's a rest. He said, be anxious for nothing. So if he said it, he's just, we can do it. We just need to focus on him and shun the things that are trying to push us down and just walk in that rest. Hallelujah.